CJLO 1690 AM in Montreal.
You are listening to CJLO News. Quebec is investing in a massive secret shopper survey to ensure French is being spoken by customer service representatives, an operation also colloquially known as the language police. The OQLF is paying $350,000 for a private firm to conduct this survey. Just under 8,000 stores across the province, almost half of which will be in Montreal, particularly Anglophone areas of Montreal like Côte-des-Neiges and NDG and Montreal West, will be investigated. The last investigation of this kind took place in 2023 to enforce language laws laid out in Bill 26. The government says these measures are necessary to combat what they call the decline of the French language. But many business owners and members of the English-speaking community on the island feel this survey is unnecessary.
Why are we doing this now when we did it 3 years ago? And why are we doing it in the first place?
That was Ava Ludwig, a member of TALK, an association representing Montreal's Anglophone community. TALK believes that the drumming up of language politics through this survey distracts from more serious issues in Quebec, which could use the funding.
Oh my God, we could use that money so much better with our hospitals and our schools. It is a superficial study focusing on a fleeting greeting when somebody walks into a shop, and really it does not measure or demonstrate the strength of the French language, which we think is important to protect and to promote. But we don't believe that this is the way to do it.
The OQLF says this exercise helps to map the use of French in Quebec. Their statistics show that French language greeting points in customer service, like salut and bonjour, fell by about 13 percentage points from 2010 to 2014. They say that's a problem. But the group TALK is still skeptical about this concern.
There's one other important number, which is an OQLF number. That's 98% of the time French is available. Service in French is available. And that's what's important. The bonjour, hi, it doesn't really matter whether you say bonjour or you say bonjour, hi. As long as you greet the person. And obviously, the majority of English speakers live on the island of Montreal, as do many newcomers whose second language is English. But that does not mean they do not speak French or do not want to speak French.
The OQLF says they need to conduct the survey to report statistics to the Minister of the French Language by 2029. With files from Jules Bugel, I'm Adam Innes with the Local Journalism Initiative.
Yo creo en muchas cosas que no he visto, y ustedes también, lo sé. No se puede negar la existencia de algo palpado, por más etéreo que sea. No hace falta exhibir una prueba de decencia de aquello que es tan verdadero. El único gesto es creer o no. Algunas veces, hasta creer llorando. Se trata de un tema incompleto porque le falta respuesta. Respuesta que alguno de ustedes quizás le pueda dar. Es un tema en Technicolor para hacer algo útil del amor. Para todos nosotros, amén. Oh, qué será, que anda suspirando por las alcobas. Que se oye susurrando en versos de trova, que anda combinándonos preguntas locas, que anda en las cabezas, anda en las bocas, que anda ascendiendo por altos huecos, que están hablando alto en la bodega, y grita en el mercado, ¿qué cosa es esa? Es la naturaleza, ¿será que será? Que no tiene certeza y nunca te da, que no tiene concepto y nunca tendrá, que no tiene tamaño. qué será, qué será, que viven las ideas de esos amantes, que cantan los poetas más delirantes, y juran los profetas emborrachados. Está en la romería de los mutilados, está en la fantasía de los infelices, está en el día a día de las meretrices, y todos los bandidos y desvalidos, en todos sus sentidos, será que será.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Death of the Mid-Range Family. You already know what it is. It's Monday, 9 a.m. Well, 9:05 a.m. You know, we've been starting a bit later. It's time for Death of the Mid-Range on CJLO 1690, Concordia University's own radio. I'm Libas Kuela Diallo, and I'm joined again today with my boy Denzel. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, my guy?
I'm good, bro. I'm good.
I'm happy to be here, man.
Man, I'm happy that you're here, bro. I'm real happy that you're here.
Part of the family now.
Yeah, well, I think you got to get to 5 episodes before you start saying stuff like that, brother.
For me.
I'll be texting. I'm like, damn, Denzel, come on the show, brother. Come on the show. But no, we got a good episode for y'all today. We're going to talk about some contenders. Going to discuss about that maybe. I the way I went about it is I kind of ranked them, right? I don't know how you went about it, Denzel, but maybe we'll talk about it. Maybe disagree who should go higher, who's a contender, what is even a contender. But before all that, I just want to give a quick shout out to my homegirl Sophie, who has a really big job interview today, really really big job interview. And
you,
I'm saying good luck to you, Sophie. She be tuning into the show every week, so I'm just trying to show some love, you know. Hopefully things go smoothly. And then before we get into it, I'm just gonna converse with my dog Denzel. How you feeling today? How was your weekend? How's the mental? But you were telling me you're a bit overwhelmed. How's everything?
Yeah, I mean, I'm doing good. Thank you for asking. You know, this is just the last finish line. You know, school is almost done. You have a lot of exams, projects too. So
just dealing with, you know.
My bad, bro. Your mic wasn't even on.
Okay, guys. What's up?
I'm tripping, bro. My beat, Denzel. My beat. We'll do it again. We'll do it again. We're gonna act like it's natural.
Let's do it.
So yeah, y'all. I'm with Denzel. Hey. I'm with Denzel. How you doing, brother? How was your weekend? How's the mental? How's everything?
I'm feeling good. Thank you. Appreciate it. What's up, Death of the Mid-Range family? I'm happy to be back. You know what I'm saying? So. I've been good. My weekend has been good. You know, I spent time with my loved ones, but I also had to do a lot of work. You know, this is like midterm was passed. We have like exams, projects. So I think people are just a little bit overwhelmed, but we're getting through, you know.
I feel that.
Spring's coming, baby.
don't be lying to me, bro. Don't be.
You're not ready for spring?
Yo, that's all I'm ready for.
Come on.
Today, I ain't gonna lie to you, I was almost late because it's so cold outside. You know, I'm not gonna spend too much time on that, but golly, can the snow leave, bro?
Like, I agree.
I'm getting mad.
It's getting out of pocket.
Anyways, we're gonna jump into this episode. And before we start talking about contenders, I don't have a player of the week or a team of the week, but I do have a news of the week. Mm. I don't know if you followed, Denzel, but the WNBA has finally agreed to new regulations upon the league. I'll give you the quick details. So now the salary cap goes from 1.5 million to 7 million. The revenue share is around 20%. Supermax deal now starts at 1.4 million. Go get your money. The average salary in the league is now at 600K and a minimum starting at 300K. I had seen a lot of just excerpts or like quotes from Caitlin Clark and other prominent figures in the league.
Yep.
What's her name? The girl that she was even like getting memed with the popcorn. You know what I'm saying?
She played for the Aces. Now she with the Now she with LA.
Saying that basically they had a like I think a meeting with the commissioner until like 5 a.m. and they still couldn't come to a decision. And then a week later, this dropped. So yeah, shout out to the W. Go get your money.
Of course.
Go get your money. And I don't know
how Kelsey Plummer.
Shout out Kelsey Plum. So yeah, get your money. I don't know why people like dudes on the internet be acting like the money coming out their pockets. I don't know why they acting like that.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
And to be honest, first of all, shout out to the WNBA. This is a big win for the league, you know. And one thing that I also want to notice and put in the forefront is the fact that they get actual like other rights, such as consent before a trade if they get pregnant.
I saw that. I saw that.
Just a lot of little things that matters, and we don't even understand how much it gets a toll on you, especially since all they were fighting about was share profit.
For sure.
You know, it's not even really about the price. It's about share profit. So shout out to the WNBA. Get your money. Get your bag. And it just keep going up, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And it's funny that you bring that up, because even last year when we were covering a little bit of the WNBA playoffs, there was a player on the Aces who had just had a baby like 9 months ago. And it was just – I think that's the beauty of having, you know, women's sports. It's like you see that and you're like – she out here getting rebounds, bro. When she birthed the dude, like
dropping 20 balls.
I be getting tired at the YMCA after one run, and you telling me after birthing a child, you're able to go. It was just so impressive.
Full on being, bro.
And it's been really impressive the way it's grown. Like last year was the first time watching the WNBA for me, right? Because it has grown so much that I started like following certain players, and I actually like wanted to watch it, and it was actually enjoyable to watch it. So yeah, just a quick shout out.
Quick shout out. Lots of first generation millionaires too. So that's fire.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. Love that. But yeah, let's get into it.
Let's get into it.
I'm thinking we start with the obvious, right?
Let's do.
With Oklahoma. OKC.
OKC.
SGA, Mr. Orr Man himself.
OKC.
I feel like it's the obvious. It's the obvious number one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No doubt.
For me, the way I went about it, what do I like? Was there not to like? Honestly, bro, it's the Thunder.
How confident are you though?
Honestly, at the beginning of the year, very confident. Then they had that little period where, like, you know, they started losing to the Spurs.
Yeah.
And then they went like I think 6-6 during a 12-game streak.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know SGA went down and all that. So maybe a bit less confident at the at the middle of the season.
Yeah.
But as of now, I mean, the tear they ran on for the past couple of weeks, insane.
Yeah.
SGA is the for sure MVP.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, I think somebody else might have a shot, but I'm not saying nothing.
If you say Kawhi, I swear I'm going to jump across this table right now.
Shout out my boy Claw. Sure. But now, I think OKC is in like an interesting position right now, because obviously you guys won the championship last year. This year has been pretty much, they kept the same pace, they kept the same winning culture, but they went through a lot of injuries, you know?
Sure.
So we had Jalen Williams who lost a lot of games. Caruso lost some time.
He's still out.
Yeah. I think he came back recently.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, he did come back.
Okay.
He did come back. So you have a lot of those guys who don't really get to play a lot, and you have trades coming in. Jared McCain just got into the roster. So I think for them, the most important thing would be how do you deal with the roster?
For sure.
How do you deal with the role players? How would the ranking of the order be presented? Because obviously we have SGA, but I don't think SGA, how can I say this? I think SGA, obviously he's the MVP, but you got to make sure everybody is in line. You got to make sure people are healthy coming in the playoffs. So that would be a huge challenge for OKC. Just make sure everybody comes healthy. That's it.
I mean, that's a really good point, obviously. But unfortunately, that's the sadness of our sport, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't control injury luck or the injury bug. I mean, look at Detroit. Cade Cunningham went down, and you're probably not going to come back until the playoffs.
Yeah.
But what I'm really impressed about with this OKC team is just, it doesn't matter who's on the floor. They have just role players that can step up in any way, shape, or form.
Anytime.
You know, Isaiah Joe can be a spot-up shooter and play 10 minutes a game, and then when SGA goes down, he can come in and play 30 and then start showing off the dribble stuff.
Yep.
AJ Mitchell was out for the longest time, and then since coming back, he's been guns blazing.
Weekends.
I think they have such a great collective, and they're all so in tune. And I feel like we've talked about this for the past couple of years. Again, shout out to Sam Presti, shout out to Mark Dignall, the GM and the coach. All these guys are ranging themselves behind SGA.
Yeah.
When SGA goes down or when SGA's on the bench, they have such a good collective that even if Jalen Williams didn't come back or doesn't look like himself, I'm so confident in this team. Alex Caruso, Lou Dort, Cason Wallace is having such a great season.
Yeah.
And it's been such an underrated season. AJ Mitchell just keeps, he's a third-year player.
Yeah.
Basically starting on the championship team. Anyways, usually what we do on with OKC on this show is that we barely talk about them because they're so good, bro.
They're so good. They just got to be healthy. That's all.
That's all. I can't even find a weakness.
What you going to say?
I can't even find a weakness.
What you going to say?
It's like, yeah, they're SJ dominant, but if they want to be, they don't got to be.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, anyways, I don't know.
Yeah.
OKC is OKC.
This is finals or bust for them. That's it.
No, I mean, they can easily go back-to-back.
Yeah.
Easily go back-to-back. Before we get into the rest of the teams, the actual teams we want to talk about, it's already time for a little ad break.
Hey.
All right? Don't go nowhere. You know, chill out. We'll be right back. All righty.
Art Matters, North America's largest student-run fine arts festival, is back for its 26th edition. This year's theme is Unstable Grounds, and over the next month, we'll be inviting artists and the Montreal community to consider how we construct foundations upon continually shifting landscapes. Thursday, March 19th from 6 to 9 p.m., join us at Atelier 2112 at 2112 at the Tegan for A Way of Willing It, a vernissage night featuring the work of 8 artists and curated by Amelia Steudel. And on Saturday, March 21st from 7 to 10 p.m., come to the White Wall Studio for Perverts, a one-night event featuring sculpture, audio, painting, projection, and speculative diagrams curated by Renee Barnes. Find us at 4532 Avenue Laval. Music by Elliot Roby, and for more information, visit artmattersfestival.org.
From Halifax basements to Newfoundland kitchens, Atlantic Canada has always punched above its weight. Tune in every other Sunday at 8, Montreal time, for Eastern Promises, celebrating the exceptional music of the Maritimes and Newfoundland and Labrador. Join me, Donald Roberge, for new discoveries, music news and interviews, and to hear everything from traditional and Acadian sounds to indie, metal, hip-hop, and more. That's Eastern Promises, every other Sunday at 8, on CJLO 6090 AM and at CJLO.com.
Yo, welcome back. Welcome back. You are still on CJLO 6090. This is still Death of the Mid-Range. I'm still Libasico El Ajalo, joined by my main man,
Denzel.
What's up? And we just got done talking about the Thunder. Really quick. If you blinked, well, you missed it. So, yeah, we don't really got time for that. My number two, okay?
Okay.
I kind of flip-flopped, and maybe I shouldn't have them this high because I'm really negative on them, but it is the Detroit Pistons.
You got Detroit number two?
It's tough for me because on the season, I feel like it's not that crazy of a take. On the season.
Obviously it's not.
But when you really, like, the more I dove into it, the more I kind of researched it, and ever since, you know, Cade went down.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you have any thoughts about that? Just an initial reaction?
Yes. Who is going to show up when Cade doesn't? And Jalen Duren being really good. He's been
really good,
so good. Yeah. But again, if you look at most of his buckets, they usually like assist base. Mm-hmm. You know, they usually like, okay, drive and kick at like last minute. Mm-hmm. He does have some post move, but he's not necessarily the best shot creator, but he is a tough big man. But my question for Detroit is, who is going to show up? You know, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at Osar averaging 10 points. Great defender.
Yeah.
Great. But when it comes to that half court, you know, exactly. Who is going to make the shot?
I honestly could not have said it better. I talked about it on the show a little bit last week, but it just like we talked at the deadline, Detroit is kind of missing a piece.
They are.
And it's kind of, okay, I have them really high because I'm a really big fan of, you know, of just the grit, right?
Yes.
The grit of this team.
Yeah.
It's playoff ready.
Yeah.
That you don't have to worry about the intensity. Mm-hmm. It's going to be there. The defense is insane.
Amazing.
I think they have
top tier.
I think right they allow 110 points per 100 possession, which is top of the NBA.
Top tier.
Right? And they're one of the teams that foul the most, but you know that in the playoffs, they like let these dudes play more. So it's going to be to your advantage. You'll always be the aggressor.
They say the defense.
At the end of the day,
yeah,
it's like, who going to step up besides Cade?
Offensively, yeah.
And it's what's scary is that they're kind of looking like a typical great regular season team.
Mm.
Like the Cavs have been in the past, like the Utah Jazz have been, or even like the Atlanta Hawks back
then. The Hawks, I was going to say the Hawks, yeah.
Where they're great for the regular season, but what really scares me is one, the shot creation, right? They try to bring in Caris LeVert, hasn't provided for them.
Nope.
Dennis Jenkins has stepped up, but he's never been in a situation as high as the playoffs.
Yeah.
And if you look at it, right, the shooting is horrendous, right? I researched this. So out of their 10 rotation players, okay? So they have a rotation of 10 players.
Okay.
They only have one who shoots above league average from three.
Wow.
That's Duncan Robinson. 40%.
And he's supposed to be their shooter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have two who shoot league average, so 36%.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis Jenkins and Javonte Green, who are both non-starters. There are four who are just above 30%. Tobias Harris, Kate Cunningham, Isaiah Stewart, and Kerry Silver.
Yeah.
They have two who shoot in the 20%.
Yeah.
Ron Holland and Ausar Thompson. Ausar Thompson is a gosh darn starter, bro.
No, he is.
And Jalen Duren doesn't shoot threes. What I'm doing with this like little deep dive on percentages, it might just seem like numbers to you, but no other team in the whole list of contenders that I have even comes close.
Yeah.
Right? At least they have at least two to three, even four dudes who shoot above league average. So I'm really scared about Detroit's offense in the playoffs.
I don't think Detroit is better than the Celtics at full strength. It's hard for me to put them above the Celtics, to be honest. I truly believe that the lack of star power, the lack of shot creation, the lack of three-point shooting, it's going to be a huge problem come half-court setting.
That's a good point. And I believe...
And I love Danny's Jenkins. I love him too. Playing so well. He's been really, like you said, the grit. He's been really stepping up since Kate has been out.
For sure.
You know, so I do like it, but... I think, like you said, that was a good year. You know, take it for experience. Shout out to Detroit. Shout out to Kay. He definitely made a case, but I don't see them going past the second round. I'm gonna keep it real.
Yeah, I don't. It's tough for me because I believe they have a winning record against the Celtics this year.
They do.
I believe they do. And it's just when you watch this team, right? You understand all the analytics. Everything we've said is, you know, we're both at a table, you know, at a radio show in the morning, and it makes sense on paper.
Yeah.
But you've hooped, I've hooped, and I can see it when I watch Detroit that they really got that underdog, like, grind mentality,
mm-hmm.
right? And so yeah. It makes me want to believe in them. Yeah. But where you're right is that in a 7-game series, if I game plan against Cade Cunningham, who the heck is gonna punish me?
Who?
No, you know what I'm doing? Like, yep. if I'm the Celtics, even if I'm the Hornets, right, and I get into the A seed and I play against the Pistons. Shout out to the Hornets, by the way. I really mess with the Hornets.
What a rebuild.
And it's like, okay, then I'm a hone in on Cade Cunningham and Ausar Thompson, please beat me. If old Tobias Harris gets me out of the playoffs, then I deserve it.
Oh, you're playing with Tobias.
You know?
Oh, you playing.
And I'm not even hating on Tobias, but it's like a lot of these playoff teams are like, okay, you beat me,
yeah.
right? You random role player are going to have to beat me.
Right.
You feel me? So I definitely get your point.
Yeah. No, I think I circled it, you know. I put like a highlighter on it. I was like, who is going to make the shot besides yeah. Kate?
If you had to rank, I have him too, really high. If you had to rank him in a pool of, you know, Spurs or other dudes, you think they're in the top five of contenders, or do you think they rank more bottom five in contenders?
I think they're bottom five.
Oh, wow.
Yes. I do have, I mean, if you include both conferences, obviously.
Yeah.
They're definitely bottom five for me. I mean, I'm going to let you know when we continue
okay.
who I got in, okay. like in front of them, but I don't think they're in front of the Celtics. I don't think they're in front of the Knicks.
Okay.
I don't think they're in front of the Cavs, but we continue.
Denzel, what I say?
Hey, we may proceed. I say what I said.
Denzel, you getting out my seat early in the morning, boy. Hey. You know I don't like that, boy. What you say about them Cavs, boy? Come on now, James Harden can't be that good.
Hey,
come on now, boy.
He got another one over there.
Okay, so should we talk about the Celtics?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay,
come on.
I had him at five.
Okay.
Right. There's a lot to like about this Celtics team. Right. New wave of young, like, role players coming in. Luka Garza, Baylor Shireman, Jordan Walsh, Nemias Keita, Ugo
yep.
Gonzalez.
Yep.
All these young players are great, right? You got Jason Tatum coming back.
Mm-hmm.
He's looked good. I can still, you know, every time he drives to the basket, I can kind of see, like, yeah, dude came off an Achilles injury.
Yeah,
you know?
He's still going, like, a little slow.
Right? And he's, you know, he's been kind of, you know, number two. They lost to the Wolves yesterday, and, you know, he didn't really look at full strength.
Right.
And then, you know, they got a crazy coach, Mr. Joe Mazzulla, who I want to believe in. You know, I really want to believe in. And it's funny because at the beginning of the year, everybody was shouting gap year, right? This is a gap year, just like the Pacers are doing. They got to have to wait until next year. And then they started off really mid, and now they're the second seed in the conference.
Yeah.
Right. My ick with it.
Talk to me.
Is the lack of experience. I think that they're relying on dudes who are young and inexperienced. And I'm talking about, like, the Baylor Shiremans, all these young dudes who are playing a lot of minutes, right?
Okay.
So that's one. That's the lack of experience from these dudes.
Okay.
And my second point is the front court depth.
That's fair.
Nemias Keita is a great defender, right? But behind him, it gets spooky. Luka Garza?
Yeah, he doesn't play
Vucevic.
Like yeah.
Those are my two. Yeah, but I'll let you go.
No. Those are actually really great concerns. You know, like in terms of like the you say front court.
Yeah.
In terms of front court, there's not much defense going on. Obviously, Vucevic. You got Vucevic. He's a great player. Great offensive too. He got experience. He got a great IQ. You know, but defensively, can he still hold up? You know, during a 7-game series. You know, with all that physicality, we just talk about Detroit. I know Detroit got that great. They got Big Stu. They got Jalen Duren. So, are you going to be able to support everything? You know, that's going to come with it. But the reason why I think the Celtics are actually still contenders is because I think, yes, you have two superstars. You have two max players. So this is the bare minimum for me. I'm sorry. I know JT just got back, but...
Because he's not looking like a superstar right now. That's kind of my point. I don't know if he's going to ramp up enough in the playoffs. I mean, right now he's playing, like, what, one in every three games?
Yeah.
And that's why when I did an episode late December on New Year's resolution.
Okay.
And my New Year's resolution for the Celtics was to keep Tatum out. Because in my mind, the ramping up is weird because he's going to ramp up and he might need to still be ramping up in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And it's going to get so intense in the playoffs that, one, the risk that he gets injured again is just going to spike up. And two,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how it's going to look for the Celtics for real.
I mean, I do agree that coming back was definitely a risk.
Yeah.
I don't know why he did it, but again, Drew Mizzou, like you said, he's crazy.
He crazy.
So I think maybe he was the one ushering maybe this return. But I trust the Celtics' structure and discipline, and we shall see, man. Like, I do trust them to at least go second round, at least.
I mean, honestly, I've grown more fond of them as a contender because Their starting lineup is like really experienced, right?
That's what I'm saying.
Like, there's a lot of experience. You know, Payne Pritchard, Derek White, you know, JT, JB, even me, Escada was on them championship teams.
Mm.
I agree with that, but for me, it's just also the Payne defense. Like I said,
I agree.
Right, Nami Escada can't play 48 minutes.
That's a good
and
point.
The stat that really killed me was when Nami Escada is on the floor, they are in the 91st percentile in defending the rim.
Oh.
When he's off the floor, that number goes down to 30. So they're in the 30th percentile. And they allow 69% at the rim. And that's real. Like, that's just really bad.
Yeah, that's bad.
And I've seen Garza. Yeah, that's bad. I really like Garza. And I'm you know, I think he played for, what, Iowa State or
Iowa,
something?
Yeah. Iowa, yeah.
And he was, like, one of the best
college
team. Yeah, and he was one of the best college players of all time. And he finally found a home. And that's a great story. But in the playoffs, I'm eating. Like, if I'm a big man, I'm eating him, bro. Like, and even I was looking, Jalen Duren had like 230 piece against the Celtics.
Yes.
And Jalen Duren ain't even a scorer like that.
Right.
So, again, I think, like you said, there's star power. Like,
I think star power.
I don't want to go against Jalen Brown because he's been so tough this
season. And Jalen Brown. See, if Tatum didn't come back, I would have agreed with you.
Mm.
You know? Because then you can maybe, like, plot against the Celtics better. You know, you can maybe double Brown and then live with Pritchard or live with maybe White or live with the young guys. But I feel like JT has such a gravitational pull.
Yeah.
You know?
No, he does. And also, it's just the way this roster is constructed, it's really constructed well, right? If you compare it to Detroit, I know that if I help off and go help, you know, to defend JB,
yeah,
they're shooters. Like, Payne Pritchard has really stepped up after starting, like, really rough.
Yeah.
He's been shooting that thing.
Yep.
Baylor Shireman's been shooting that thing. So, even Luka Garza can stretch the floor.
Yeah.
So, obviously,
stretch the floor, too.
Yeah, so there's a lot of shooting on this team, and there's a really good structure. And what I love about Joe Mazzulla is that, one, he's a great adaptive coach.
Yes.
Like, in the playoffs, he won't mind to change the schemes and everything. He won't mind changing defensive assignments. That's never a problem. And also, he sticks with his guys, right?
Yes.
What I love about this Celtics team is minutes really fluctuate apart from, like, the top dogs,
mm-hmm.
you know, like JB, JT, mm-hmm. whatever. Like, their minutes don't fluctuate. But some games, Nami Escada don't got it going. He'll play 8 minutes,
yeah.
right? And then Luka Garza will get a shot. Or even they have a dude, like, named Williams something from their G League that he'll just throw in dudes that want to play, mm-hmm. right? Hugo Gonzalez can play 30 minutes like he can play 5 minutes.
Five.
And so it's a cocktail of great, great coaching, a great roster that makes me want to put him higher, but I don't know. I get that feeling where I just
I'm recency biased, to be honest. I think the Celtics just got too much going on to not afford to go a little higher. You know?
I get that.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
But, and it, I feel like I also think about it, if I look at the rest of the state of the Eastern Conference.
That too.
Right? Who's going to come out? I don't know if it's good to think like that, but the way I think about it is like, whoever's going to come out is going to play OKC for me. Like, for me, there's, like, so I'm just kind of thinking about matchups and...
For OKC.
You know, and that's what I kind of, that's why I get frustrated with the Pistons.
You might be surprised,
like, Yeah, because, bro, if the Pistons get in the finals...
They ain't going to get in the finals.
Come on, Levi.
You know better than that. Shout out to Detroit. I love Detroit.
Just to go back on them, like, if the one thing we didn't talk about as well was Cade Cunningham having a collapsed lung.
Ooh.
You know?
Talk about it.
And he's definitely done for the regular season.
Yes. This is a few weeks.
If Detroit is starting their first playoff series without Cade Cunningham, are we saying that there's a chance they don't come out the first round? Be so for real. I'm low key, I'm with that.
Who would they play?
They could play, who's
coming out of the play-in, right?
They're not gonna lose that first seed. They shouldn't.
No, they're not.
But either they'll play the Hornets or
they're beating the
like
Hornets.
The Hawks.
They're beating the Hawks.
Yeah, but like, if I'm a beat-up Detroit team and I'm coming into the playoffs without my tough dog, I don't want to play the Hornets.
That's tough.
Like, the Hornets...
It's
like an amazing offense versus an amazing defense. It would be a great matchup. Like, I'd be down.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. Because they played, what, seven? At the time of the research, they played seven games without Cade Cunningham. And they were 5-2.
Yeah, they had like a 4-game losing streak too.
They 5 wins, 2 losses at the time that I did my research. But if you dive into it, they beat the Bulls twice. They beat the Pelicans. They beat the Pacers, and then they beat the Sixers. They're all like not good teams.
Yeah, that's not right. That's an easy schedule.
I don't know. I'm.
You still got him second? Even with Cade, like, bro,
I'm so impressed with Cade, bro. Obviously, I'm taking Cade coming back and being healthy.
He has to rehab his way into the playoff.
For sure. They said it was minor. I don't even know what a collapsed lung is, bro.
Yeah.
Just the name sounds scary. The name sounds scary.
I was like, bro, is it going to be okay?
I'm clutching my lungs just thinking about it, bro. I'm like, golly. But you know what? We are on a good streak of talking about Eastern Conference teams. Should we talk about the Knicks?
Ooh. That's a tricky one.
I'm a pessimist on the Knicks.
What you got to say? I think the Knicks, I'm going to be honest.
Higher or lower? Than
Detroit?
Let's go. If we had Detroit up to the top and then the Celtics, and now...
I got the Knicks, like, on that next tier.
Like below?
Yeah. Below. I might have the Knicks above... I might have the Knicks above... Detroit too. I think I said that.
You gotta understand
something, right?
Yeah.
First of all, Detroit is a great team, but you gotta understand that the Knicks are coming off a Western Conference final. This is their finals to lose.
Mm-hmm.
This is their finals trip to lose. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
You know? I think one of the things that I really liked about how the Knicks have been playing lately is that, first of all, they're a great defensive team, right? But they always had great pieces. But now I feel like everybody is embracing of the team defense. I'm going to talk about one player specifically. It's Cat.
Mm.
I don't know if you noticed Cat recently. Cat been embracing his secondary role.
Okay.
Let's say that offensively, right? He has like I've looked at his stats and I think the past game he recorded like 4 or 5 double doubles, even though he doesn't score as much as he used to score, you know, but you can tell that the consistency is there now. So this is something great. Mikal needs to be able to shoot better. That's going to be the biggest challenge. He's been on the shooting slump forever. And Brunson also been on the slump, but I think he was dealing with a neck injury, so I'm not going to be too harsh on Brunson. I think he's just going to need to make sure that he doesn't rely on a one-man action the same way he did last year. You know, last year he was really into the, okay, let me take the charge. Let me take
That's
my team home.
And it worked. It worked until it didn't work.
It worked until it didn't work. So how can you add maybe a two-guard action scheme? I don't know, Thibodeau. You know, we know that he's not the greatest coach when it comes to playing other players than his favorites. Let's say that. But I think the Knicks got the powers. They got the defense. They got the size. They got the rebounders. They might not have the shooters, but they got the grit, just like Detroit.
Yeah, but that's I agree with some parts.
And they
parts.
Got a star.
I
Two
agree.
Stars.
I agree. They got Come a on. Superstar. They got a superstar. I agree with some parts of what you said. Come on. Right? And I agree that last year under Thibodeau, it was different, right? It was different. He really honed in on having Brunson as a hub and having Brunson, especially in clutch time, just like basically give me the ball and get out the way, which is my favorite form of basketball, but may not be the most efficient form of basketball. But this year under Mike Brown, there's been a lot of like just different minutes, different rotations.
True.
And my big problem with Cat was I said that I was going to stop talking about his offensive role because he was complaining about touches, he was complaining about this and that, and I was tired of hearing it. And if you said that I haven't really been tuned into the Knicks like that, so if you say he's been figuring it out.
That's how I felt watching their game.
And I feel like him getting double-doubles as well, going for rebounds, means that he's more locked
he's
in.
He's more locked in.
That's what he should be.
Yeah.
But my problem with him is the defense.
Yeah.
I have never seen a dude defend with his hands that much. Like, brother, you are. And again,
he's been chilling on the fouling lately.
I'm not 6'10". I've never been to that height. I've never been. Oh, I've dreamed about being a center. You know, I want to be a center.
You wanted to be a center,
okay, bro? If you see me in my men's league, bro, I'm in the paint
for real.
I'm in the paint, grab rebounds. I'm setting screens. Maybe it's because I can't shoot.
But a smile too.
Anyway, my problem with him is just. You're big. You're a big man. You're supposed to anchor this defense, and he doesn't. He does not anchor this defense. And Mike Brown has been really comfortable with sitting him and letting Mitchell Robinson play instead of him, right? And it's a good combo, right? They go together. Mitchell Robinson is here for rebounding and defense, and then Cat brings the offense. But when Cat doesn't have his offense going, then all I see is just a big dude fouling, and the foul trouble. Bad fouls too. Maybe I've been on a bad streak, but I feel like every single game I've tuned in, or like the past five games I've tuned in to the Knicks, he has like five fouls and has to sit, or four fouls has to sit.
True, that's true.
And he just needs to be better, bro. Like it's been the same problems ever since he got to New York. He just needs to be better on that side of the ball.
Yeah.
And then for the rest of the guys, I agree with what you said about Mikal.
Yeah.
Mikal has.
Step it up, man.
He got to step it up with his shooting.
Yeah.
And then I think OG has been really, really good this season.
Yes.
He just usually is.
Yes.
And even that, not last year, but the year prior to that, when they played the Sixers in the first round, OG Anunoby, when he went down, it changed everything.
Everything.
Because he's such an underrated player.
Such a good defender. Such a glue.
I don't know. I mean, they're the third seed in the NBA.
I think this is the best lineup New York has had in a minute, right? And because of the last year run, and the fact that the East is so open, you know, we have so many injuries that happen. We talked about Detroit being questionable. We talked about the Celtics being questionable. I really do believe that if New York, they lock in, they can make it to the finals.
And there's something maybe, and that has nothing to do with basketball, but there's something about Madison Square Garden in the playoffs. Yeah. And I feel like that's just, I'm usually just a Knicks.
We need it.
I'm just a Knicks fan because I want them, like I want people to play in Madison
play
Square.
Play New York, yeah. Come on.
I love it so much.
It's amazing.
And quick shout out to my brother, Mohamed Diawara, who I've just been so impressed with. Got drafted 55th last year. Wasn't even supposed to be on the team. And then made it through training camp, made it through summer league, and then actually ended up signing a regular deal. And it was probably, you know, just watching, being on the bench, and then he actually got minutes.
Oof.
And now he's been a rotational piece, shooting 40% from three. Shout out to my man.
Shout out to you, man.
And Ramadan Mubarak to my brothers as well. And to everybody watching the show, by the way. Right? I hope it was a good and healing.
And healing.
Month. Healing month.
Period of time.
Last question about the Knicks. Do you have to blow it up if they don't go to the finals this year?
Yeah, low key.
Damn.
Because I feel like you had two years where you could have went, you know, and everybody needs to get paid at some point too. I think Cat took a pay cut. Brunson took a pay cut. I don't know when
summer.
Did he renew his deal?
No, I think he still has to renew.
Right, he still has 3 years, like a year?
How many? Probably. Or maybe he signed an extension.
Maybe he signed an extension. I don't know. But what I'm saying is, yeah, I think this is the second year when you guys literally have a shot. This is a wide open East. It's been a wide open East. If you guys are not able to do it, we know we heard about the Giannis trade rumors. So this is still, you know, in full-on thought somewhere, somehow in the corner of people's minds. So I do believe that if the Knicks cannot make it this year, some move will happen. And I don't know who's going to drop or who's going to leave, but...
Yeah. We'll see. And also with the second apron, it's just the nature of the league now.
Yeah.
Their core is very expensive and...
Very.
And they just won't be able to retain everybody. I'll just quickly mention the Spurs. I don't... Listen, we only have, what, 20 minutes left? We won't talk about them because... We talked about him a couple weeks back on an episode. An episode that you did star in, by the way.
I was there.
You were amazing in that episode, if I may. You were amazing.
Come on.
No,
he's too nice.
So, you know, the Spurs are there. I feel like they've gotten a lot of coverage, and I want to talk about other teams, such as... So, I have a couple teams, right? We've been Eastern-oriented.
He's smiling, guys.
In the way... I'm always smiling, bro. And that's what I was going to say at the beginning of the show. I didn't have time to set it up today because we got in late to the studio, but... We're gonna start doing some video format. I'm gonna try to start clipping the show. So if I start aura farming or clip farming, as the young people say, as the young people say, then bear with me.
Ready to aura farm?
Okay. So yeah, should we talk about the Lakers? Because you said you wanted to talk about the Lakers.
Yeah, let's talk about the Lakers.
I will step forward. I do not have them as a contender
at all.
No,
not even a little bit.
It's crazy. Sell me on
this. Do you have them as pretenders?
Yeah, I have them. Listen, I have seven contenders, right? I have.
Okay.
I'll go through them real quick.
Give me the seven.
I got Pistons.
Okay.
I got OKC, Pistons, Spurs, Denver Nuggets, Celtics, Knicks, Timberwolves. Okay. And then I have three pretenders: Lakers, Rockets, Cavs, in that order. But sell me on it. Why?
13?
I know the Lakers have been amazing lately.
Come on.
I'm not a hater, and Luka's been averaging like 40, and I know, but sell me on it, bro. Please sell me on it.
I'm gonna tell you what I think. Obviously they had a rocky start, you know, it wasn't the greatest start, but lately, first of all, I thought we was going to do the player of the week, because my player of the week, and it should be your player of the week,
Luka.
Is Luka Magic.
People going to say I'm hating
Luka Magic. He's been averaging 40.
I know.
40.
I know.
But that's not what I'm trying to get to. I think with the Lakers, right, the thing that I actually appreciate with the Lakers is that they came to a point where they actually maximize everybody's sort of usage. I've never seen LeBron being that much off the ball, you know, and still being effective. You know what I'm saying?
That's it. Denzel?
Like, LeBron is having, to me, LeBron is having the best stretch, not of his career, obviously, but he's having the best stretch as a secondary option.
Third,
sometimes.
And that's what, first of all.
For some people, he's third.
First of all.
Think about this.
Denzel is dropping straight up knowledge. And if you had any questions about Denzel being locked in, bro, this is the best, because that was one of my points on this is like, LeBron is one of the best third options in the league.
Come on.
Truthfully, when everybody's at their peak, and even J.J. Redick said it, Luka's one, right? Austin Reeves is two.
Okay.
For sure.
Okay.
And
Brown three.
Because they've been losing the Brown minutes.
Yeah.
They've been losing, so he needs to take a step back, but go ahead.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, LeBron has been, like, in his lowest using rate, you know, he's been around 20% this year. Think about this. 20%
insane.
LeBron James, right?
The king.
Still able to drop 30, dropping 19, doing the little work, doing the putting the screens over there, setting people's up. So we have literally a Draymond Green on, like, steroids. Like, this is Draymond Green on, I cannot say the word, but you get what I'm saying. This is Draymond Green that can shoot, that still can punch you.
On a certain drug that we cannot,
you know what I'm saying? But, yeah, I think the packing order is what makes the Lakers so scary.
Yeah.
The fact that Luka is obviously such a gravity player. He's going to dominate. He's going to, you know, that's what he does. This is, to me, actually, and this might be a hot take, I'm going to leave it here. I think Luka is LeBron James' best teammate ever. I'm not talking about the actual run. I'm not talking about the run. I'm talking about as an individual player. Now, people can say D-Wade, and I understand D-Wade is a go. He's a legend. I'm not saying Luka is above D-Wade in the rankings. I'm just saying, individually, I don't think LeBron has ever played with that much talent.
No, that's a good point.
AR is top, I think AR is one of the top true shooting player in the league. Mm-hmm. You know, so you have Ayton, who recently said that he embraced his role as
finally,
a role player.
Finally.
He was like, I'm not that guy. Yes, you're not. You've never been, but it's okay.
You know what? Hey, shout out to self-awareness.
That's it.
Hey.
You know?
And thank you for looking in the mirror. And again, I don't know what the heck you thought you were coming into with the amount of, like, goats that you have on your team to be like, you know what? This might be my time to shine. they're probably bringing me in to be a second option, right?
Crazy.
Hell crazy. No. But sorry, not to cut.
But that's my point.
Yeah, but not to cut you off. We're just going to go to our last little ad break.
Let's do it.
But don't worry. We still got, you know, 15 minutes to come back. We'll finish up on the Lakers. Then I want to talk about Denver, perhaps. I'm throwing this out there.
We can talk about Denver.
And I'm down to talk about the Timberwolves as well.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Let's talk about the Wolves.
Ant-Man, we'll be right back.
Hey.
CJLO presents The Big M Show, a series of hour-long theatrical specials featuring all new music from local singer-songwriter extraordinaire Marlena Moore. Over the course of 2026, come out to Theater VME for dazzling performances, each with their own unique theme, set design, and costumes. They're a fresh take on old-school entertainment and your chance to see your very own Broadway diva at a discount rate. The second Big M Show is coming up on March 29th at 7 p.m. Get your tickets now at mileendimprov.ca.
Hey, radio listeners. Have you ever wondered what your favorite characters would listen to? Better yet, imagined a soundtrack for your favorite movie or book? If the answer is yes, then tune into Something for the Mood every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. only on CJLO 1690 AM. I'm your host, Zoe, and I invite you to explore a new topic with me through music both new and old, but always funky, each week. To quote the wise words of iconic duo Chibo Motto, you got to know your chicken. And if you do, you'll tune into Something for the Mood every week. See you all there.
All right. That was a really good show promo. You got to know your chicken. Hey. We were trying to set the vibes right, but sorry, let me welcome y'all back.
Happy Monday.
We got the vibes are right in the studio. This is Death of the Midrange. You are still on CJLO 1690. Denzel's bringing the vibes this morning. I appreciate my brother being with me.
I'm trying, man. We here, baby. Come
Hell
on.
Yeah. Did you have any last thing to say about the Lakers before I give my piece and then we move on?
No, like I said, the reason why I think the Lakers are contenders, and obviously they're not on the top of the food chain, but
sure.
I think LeBron, AR, and Luka being able to finally find a nice packing order was going to be scary, because now you have LeBron James having less of the attention from the other teams scouting, you know. So who knows, you know? And we know that LeBron and Luka in the playoff, come on, we know what they've been doing. You know they've been carrying
for sure.
Teams, so
for
sure. I'm trusting the Lakers.
I appreciate you big bringing it to the attention of the people, because I was going to mention them, but I maybe okay. People are going to call me a Lakers hater because I had a little rant about Luka Doncic not a long time ago. And I ain't been tuned into Lakers. I ain't gonna lie, but
they've been going crazy.
For me, the rest of the roster construction is the problem. And I know they've been going crazy. They've racked up quality wins.
They did.
But again, maybe I'm old school, but their center rotation, right?
That's true. That's a good.
If this man Jackson Hayes get on the gosh darn court in a conference finals, I'm gonna lose it.
Yeah,
I'm gonna lose it. And shout out DeAndre Ayton. I'm happy that, you know, I'm happy that
you got your mind right.
Thank you. No, honestly, and it's a good example for the youth. We got to be more self-aware. Come on, y'all. We got to be more self-aware as young men. We got to be more self-aware, y'all. All right. You might not be that guy.
Oh.
And that's okay. No, but truthfully, you know, Luke Kennard has come in.
Luke?
And really given him quality minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But Marcus Smart, Rui Hachimura, Jake LaRavia, all those other dudes that are closing out the roster, I don't think it's constructed well enough yet. And I
can see
and honestly, maybe if the Lakers were in the gosh darn Eastern Conference, then we'd have a different conversation.
I agree.
But if it's to look at who's gonna come out of the West, I don't have the Lakers. Right? I don't really have the Lakers. Even though, like you said, they probably got the best three man like trio in the gosh darn league.
Yeah.
But yeah. Lakers fan gonna be happy with this one. Denzel got a couple.
They're gonna be mad.
Well,
I'm holding you guys down, and I'm a Clippers fan, mind you.
That's crazy.
I'm holding you guys down.
Not even Batman could get me to defend the Celtics like that, bro. You wildin'. Should we talk about the Wolves?
Yes, let's talk about the team of Wolves.
The Wolves, man. What'd you think?
You know, I'm conflicted.
Yeah.
To say the least. I think when it comes to consistency.
Oh my God, this guy, he says what I'm thinking.
Oh, okay.
We're so locked in.
If you take the past years, right, this team has shown that they are able, right, year in and year out to come out of, potentially come out, right, of the West. They made it to the Western Conference Finals twice. They never actually made it out, but they showed us that being an underdog is possible to do it. Now, my problem with Minnesota is that there is too many settling going on.
Yeah.
Too much. We know AE, it's gifted, generational, right? Hmm. His gifted offensive prowess to the roof.
Yeah.
But when I'm looking at how other people move, right, there is too much settling. The ball is not moving enough.
Mm.
That's going to be a big problem during the playoff.
Yeah.
You know, when you're in that halftime, like that half court setting, and you can't be moving the ball, nobody averages more than 5 assists on the team.
Come on now. That boy be doing his research. Come on now.
So I think they need a point guard, a rear point guard, because they do have some guards. You know, they got Bones Highland. They got
my boy
Ayo Desonu, if I'm not mistaken.
Ayo Dasumu.
Thank you. So they're bringing that energy. They're bringing that dynamics. You know what I'm saying? That dynamic pace. But I think they got to be more consistent on defense, man. And offense, too, because the ball is not moving. On defense, you guys have the grit, obviously. But, you know, it's about making the effort still, continue to make the effort, but consistency on offense, consistency in the ball movement, consistency in the cuts. You know, this is what is killing them.
And first of all, I like that you bring up the idea of consistency.
Yes.
There's a new parameter that I would like to introduce, or criteria. And for me, it's like playoff vibe or playoff like grit.
Mm.
Because I feel like Timberwolves, yes, like they got that. Like when I watch a playoff series with them and like, you know, trash talking, they have that. The Pistons, they got that.
They do.
Celtics, not so much.
Yeah.
Right? But that don't, like, you know, it's not a basketball thing. So obviously it's not an analytic of any kind. And I agree with the consistency, because what I hate about this Timberwolves team is that they will go out and beat
the
OKC Thunder.
Yeah.
Twice.
Yeah.
Right. In 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then go and lose to the Nets.
Yeah.
And then same thing for the Pistons, by the way. And then go and be in a tight game with the Wizards.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Anthony Edwards will come to the podium, say some funny stuff, and then just be like, well, we gotta be better. They do have to be better. And I've been really impressed with their guard rotation. I know they're not real point guards or true point guards, but Ayo Dosunmu and Bones Highland have filled out so nicely.
They did.
Ever since Ant-Man's been down.
They did.
Ayo Dosunmu and Bones Highland have both been averaging like 20.
They did. They pushed the pace.
And it's been really impressive.
They are.
When you talk about ball movement and just the overall flow of the offense, they got a good offense. They're top 10 in offensive rating. I think they might be top 11. But from what I've heard from Timberwolves fan,
the ball, though.
From what I've heard from Timberwolves fan, it's been that ball movement because of Julius Randle.
Yes.
And what I've heard, and I'm not blaming Julius Randle, but what I've heard from things I've read about the Timberwolves on Substack or whatnot, is that last year he really locked in and was really like not a role player, but or a role player on steroids, where he was, you know, thinking about the offense, thinking about getting his assist up, going for rebounds. And this year has been way more of just him trying to get his that's where they butted heads. When he was trying to get his earlier last season, that's where the Timberwolves were struggling. Once he locked into his role, then he had an amazing season.
Yes.
And so people were kind of saying he was regressing in that sense. But I like the Timberwolves. Yeah. Everybody loves the Timberwolves.
And also, I think the depth of the bench is a little concerned as well.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really see... obviously, you have Rudy, which is an amazing defensive
underrated
presence.
He's been amazing this year.
He's having such a good year. People don't talk about it because, obviously, I think there is a whole narrative around him. But the depth, I don't think you have enough. I don't think you have enough shooter. I don't think you have enough shooting. You know, you have my boy Jaden McDaniels, who's having a breakout year.
Come on now, talk to him.
It doesn't reflect on the stat sheet, but when he's on the floor, the Wolves are tremendously better. Tremendously,
for sure.
You know. I love how he was able to develop his shot creating ability.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's gonna be really helpful for Endman during the playoff to be able to do his thing. You know, put more gravity on JD McDaniel so he can maybe do his thing on the sides for AE. So. I think for the Timberwolves, it's really about just being consistent. Just being consistent and keep, like, just being consistent in every single aspect of the game, you know. You got the grit, you got the youth. Now, just lock in, you know. I know it's easy sometimes, you just get a little sloppy.
For sure.
You know?
Play down to your competition.
But
I love what you said about Jaden McDaniels because, statistically, I think he's only averaging 2 more points.
Yeah.
But it's the way he's getting 14. Those points. Like, it's the way he's getting those points.
Oh, my God.
He's always been kind of a 3-and-D guy. Mm. And then once, you know, players would go down, he would get to show this kind of more scoring-oriented that he even had in college a little bit more. What I've been really impressed with him is just his shot creation has been there even when Ant-Man has been healthy.
Yes.
And the second part of that story is Ant-Man trusts him. He said, Jaden McDaniels can do everything I can do. I just got to trust him more.
He's been hyping him forever.
And that's good. And I think that may be because when you think about teams that recur, like, that go to the playoffs often, right, you're like, okay, what has changed from last year's playoff run to this year's playoff run, right? Maybe I think like Rudy might be more locked in defensively, right? Ant-Man has hit another level again.
Yeah.
And then Jaden McDaniels has steady shot creation.
Yes.
And listen, they're 2-2 versus the Thunder. And for me, they're the team that has played them the best.
Yeah.
By far.
Yeah.
And the second team that's played them the best is the Denver Nuggets.
Ooh.
Talk about a transition.
Talk about a transition.
This guy's so good at his job. I know. Please stop telling me. With the, you know, a couple minutes we got before we get out of here.
Right.
I do want to mention the Nuggets because they're 0-4 against the Thunder this year. But what I mean by that they've played the Thunder really well is that every game, and y'all have probably seen it on your timeline or on any, like, you know, basketball outlet that you follow, all their game have been amazing.
Yeah, great games.
And the Nuggets have been struggling lately.
They did. You know, the Nuggets, to me, it's the team that I always have faith. I always have faith in the Denver Nuggets. But then I'm also able to understand that sometimes change is not for everybody. And let me explain why. I do believe that they have been struggling with a lot of injuries. Obviously, Aaron Gordon, who was the glue.
Yeah.
The glue, yeah.
Jokic went down too.
The glue, the grit of the team. You know, we know that before his injury, he was having literally the best season of his career.
For sure.
Remember, like dropping 40 balls, 50 balls.
Yeah,
That was insane. Obviously, since they lost him, it has been a little complicated, you know, on the defensive side. You know, he was the one guarding the best player, making sure he was putting that power below the rim. But I think with Denver, it's really just about, I think the schedule has been a little tough.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to be too hard on them. You know, they had a tough schedule. I think they play OKCs, the Spurs, and like the Lakers, like back to back. And the Knicks. Mm. You know, so I don't think their record, like in the past weeks, necessarily reflect the confidence I would put in them during the playoff. But I do believe that losing MPJ, even though you got Cam Johnson, was a little tough adjustment, you know, even in the flow of the game.
Exactly, because, and I touched on it a little bit last week, but if you look at the percentages, they're very similar. I think Cam Johnson is shooting like 42% on the year.
Yes.
But the thing with Cam Johnson is the volume.
The volume.
MPJ didn't care. You could close out short. You could close out wide. He did not care. And the Nuggets actually need that. Because it's kind of a weird thing where MPJ is so unconscious when he shoots that it brings so much more spacing.
Yes.
Because once Jokic lets it go,
he knows.
You know he's going to shoot.
That's it.
Right? You know he gonna, so it's like you're always on your toes about when he's going to shoot. Yes. Cam Johnson is much more mindful with that.
Yes.
And so I think he's only averaging like, he's shooting maybe 5 threes a game or 4 threes a game, which is a career low.
Yeah.
And he needs to be more aggressive because they need that volume shooting. Tim Hardaway Jr. has brought that volume shooting.
He did.
I think he scored 20 points or more in the last three games.
Yes.
But I think
the roster injuries change of,
they're missing Peyton Watson defensively like crazy.
Yeah.
Peyton Watson, by the way, who's having a breakout season, future wizard probably in the offseason, is having an amazing season, and they've missed his point of attack capabilities on the defensive side of the ball. But listen, we got 50 seconds. 50 seconds left.
Come on.
Denzel, I want to thank you for coming on the show today.
Every time.
Appreciate you coming. And talking about contenders. This was a really fun episode, brother.
It was fun. I love it.
It went by super fast, I feel like, today.
That's how it be when you're having fun. Time flies when you're having fun.
Thank you, Denzel. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for all the love that y'all showed on the French episode that we dropped last Thursday with my boy Adrien. Really, really cool to hear what you guys had to say. So I appreciate y'all. Appreciate you, Denzel.
Appreciate you, my boy.
And as always, have an amazing week, y'all. We will see you next Monday. ¿Qué será? Que ningún aviso podrá...